Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We're going to do the Tuesday show, August 23rd, 2016, from AM 1030 KVOI. And, of course, we are live streaming. That means worldwide listening. Anywhere you're near a computer, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Our live line number, if you have any questions or comments during the hour, we'd love to hear from you at 790-2040. We also invite you to become one of our friends on Facebook, and we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We're going to begin today with a University of Arizona researcher who has co-authored a very interesting study about asthma in children. Growing up on an Amish farm protects children against asthma. That was one of the findings of this study. And on the live line, University of Arizona Health Sciences researcher Dr. Donetta Vercelli. Her work published in the August 4th edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Vercelli, how are you?
I am fine and delighted to be with you today.
Thank you very much. I find this very interesting. Why don't you set the stage for us? Why did you do the study?
We did the study because childhood asthma is the most common chronic disease of childhood, and so it's a serious problem for a lot of children, a lot of families in Arizona and worldwide. The problem with childhood asthma, one of the many problems, is that this disease can be treated currently, but cannot be really cured. And so what we are trying to find are ways to prevent this disease from happening to these children. And for that, we took as a model populations, these Amish populations, in particular the Amish in Indiana, who essentially have no asthma whatsoever in their midst. And so we studied these populations, and we contrasted them with similar populations who, however, have a different type of lifestyle, the Hutterites, to try and understand what makes this difference between being completely protected from asthma and not being protected. And this in the context of the fact that there are a lot of similarities between these populations. They are all farming populations. But as I said, there is this very distinctive difference that is what we were after, having asthma or not having asthma.
So what did you, what did the study conclude, or what were some of the findings?
The main conclusion is, and this is what you alluded to at the beginning, is that growing up on a traditional farm is extremely effective at protecting against asthma. What that means, however, a little more specifically, is that the contact with the environment that exists on such a farm, particularly the contact with large animals such as cows primarily, most likely brings these children in contact with a very rich microbial world that these animals bring with them. And it is this microbial world, and particularly it is the products of these microbes, that modulates immunity in these children in such a way that once they grow up, they are protected from asthma. And particularly it's their innate immune system that responds to these microbial products in such a way that asthma is prevented from emerging later on in life.
So in many ways, the kids who do not grow up in such an environment, they are, for want of a better word, they're protected by their parents from you know, don't get too many germs or whatever. And perhaps that could not be to the advantage of building up an immune system, correct?
That is correct. And you know, our species did not evolve in the conditions in which we live today, right?
Yes.
And it is probably this departure, very rapid, very momentous from those conditions, that is leaving our immune system in trouble, essentially.
And is this something that you had known for a long time, Dr. Vercelli, about the Amish population, that the children did not were not coming down with asthma? Is that something that had been around for a while?
We had known for a while that the Amish children were low in asthma, and most importantly, we knew for a while that in general, farming children growing up on traditional farms in Europe are protected from asthma. But we could never really understand which factors were responsible for it, because the comparison was always between a farming child and an urban child. And as you can imagine, there are too many variables there that that are different. And so to find out what really the difference that means, that leads to protection, that is meaningful in this context, was impossible. The comparison between the Amish and the Hutterites, that are also farmers, but they are not traditional farmers. They are mechanized farmers who do not let their children come close to the animals. This is what all of a sudden gave us this aha moment, because it's in fact this difference in lifestyle that is responsible most likely for this staggering difference in asthma prevalence.
We're speaking with Dr. Donetta Vercelli, Dr. Vercelli, Associate Director of the Asthma and Airway Disease Research Center at the University of Arizona Health Sciences. She also is a member of the University of Arizona-based Bio5 Institute and Director of the Arizona Center for the Biology of Complex Diseases. So there was quite a difference between this farming community in South Dakota and the Amish community in Indiana, correct?
Indeed. The Amish are completely traditional in what they do. They don't use machines. They don't use equipment. They plow using horses, and they do everything with horses. The Hutterites are mechanized farmers. They are very modern. They hold patents, in fact, for equipment. And their stables are very large hangars that hold a lot of animals. And so only grown-up men are allowed to go in those stables, because they're perceived as being potentially dangerous places, unlike the stables in the Amish, who have single-family farms, and, you know, they have 10, 15 cows, and of course, the kids have a ball playing around the cows all the time, as you can easily imagine.
What can we learn, then, from this that we could possibly transfer to our young people who do suffer from asthma and other airway disease problems?
We have learned something critical, which is that in our animal models that recapitulate very closely what happens in these children, we can give extracts of dust collected in an Amish house to a mouse, and we can protect that mouse completely from what we call experimental asthma, from the symptoms and the manifestations of asthma that we induce in this mouse. Whereas if we do that with dust that we collect in a Hutterite home, we cannot do that at all. So in essence, there is something in that dust extract that confers protection, and we have a model that allows us to now dissect what is in that dust extract and identify the products that are protective. So I think that we have now a shot at finding ways to protect from asthma and to prevent asthma in children.
How widespread is childhood asthma, Doctor?
Well, I can tell you that in a recent analysis that we did in Tucson, in a couple of Tucson schools, the prevalence of asthma was around 25-27% of the children. And it's high in Tucson. I would say USA-wide is probably around 15-17%. So it's extremely common, and it is, as I said, the most common complex disease in childhood. So it's really a serious disease.
Well, we certainly have the dust factor, don't we, Dr. Vercelli, here in Tucson, which may be a contributing factor to these to this large percentage of asthma cases, but it's not the right dust, correct?
Exactly. There is dust and there is dust. We don't have the right dust, but, you know, maybe we can find a way to bring the right dust to these children if we identify what in the dust is responsible for these protective effects.
But the animal models look very encouraging. Is that what you're telling us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both because they prove that the environment is responsible for this protection and because they offer us an opportunity to dissect this environment.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Vercelli, thank you very much.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Vercelli, co-author of this fascinating study that growing up on an Amish farm protects children against asthma. We'll continue with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, who's giving me a thumbs in a horizontal fashion, which means the market is flat. We'll be right back.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going?
So far, it's going pretty well, Bill. The markets are pretty much flat, so they're holding on to recent gains, which is nice to see in the face of, kind of insistent talk that the Fed might do what I've said they're going to do and raise interest rates this September.
So this would be a very good day to venture into an area since we're not going to miss much if we don't talk about the markets for 10 minutes. Let's venture into an area that I think you've got a good idea here. What are you talking about when you're saying something about compulsory national service?
Yeah, that's something that I've been kind of noodling around because, as you know, I believe that some very fundamental economic or macroeconomic indicators have changed. And, you know, we have talked in the past couple of weeks about, you know, what's the supply side theory on how to fix this? What's the Keynesian theory on how to fix these problems? We see, you know, problems dogging us in the cities as they become resegregated. We see
infrastructure issues. Big time.
Exactly.
Big time.
We see an aging population. I mean, there are so many problems that we're not really able with the political will to fix individually, that I was thinking, well, is there a big idea? Is mm-hmm. there something that can really address these kinds of problems? And is it such a big idea that, you know, nobody would ever take it seriously? And that might be the case here, but I'm going to put it on the table anyway and ask our audience if you have an opinion about what I'm saying, you know, call in and let's chat about it.
790-2040, do you think Shelley Fishman's idea about a universal compulsory national service plan is a good idea?
No exceptions, not military necessarily, though some of it would be military.
Some, right.
It would involve our community colleges. Mm-hmm. It would involve our technical schools. It would involve making sure that everybody serves for 2 years, that when they get done serving, that they would have an equivalent of the GI Bill of Rights. It would mean that some people would serve before they went to college. Some people would serve after high school. Some people would serve if they dropped out of high school. But there'd be no exceptions. I mean, you'd have to be very, very disabled before you could get out of this, male and female both. You would be able to choose the areas in which you serve. And we would use people to, first of all, complete their high school educations.
Right.
We would also then do some level of training for whatever, you know, field that was somebody's choice. If you could, you know, maybe have 30 or 40 different areas where they could choose from. Individual corporations would be asked to participate and extend their intern programs and their early training programs. That this would really uplift people in the inner cities. That it would instill values of, you know, coming to work on time, being reliable, getting the education they need, and it would get people involved in training for the new industries that we need. You know, we've got 500,000 jobs that can't be filled with American laborers because they're not skilled.
All right. We do have a couple of folks who would like to weigh in on this. Dan is first. Hey, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi, yeah, I'm a retired military. In order to understand where you're coming from, would you please tell us both of your experiences and your past military life so we could know how you would deal with all the incompetents that would be sucked up into this program who would be nothing but troublemakers?
Well, that is certainly a problem. And, by the way, we used to have a draft. When I was growing up, we had a draft. And when I flunked out of college in 1962, I was draft bait. And, mm-hmm. in fact, in 1966, in order to avoid a draft call, I joined the Marine Corps. So I did serve. I served in the Marine Reserves. You're absolutely right. There can be people who are problematic. But this gives us an opportunity to work with those people rather than to have them involved in places where we can't reach them. So that's my experience, Bill.
Well, my experience, honorable discharge from the U.S. Army, from the Army Reserve. So both Shelley and myself have raised our right hand.
Absolutely.
And pledged our allegiance, right. and everything else, right. to Uncle Sam. And
it seemed to be too easy to get out of the draft,
yeah.
you know, back then. And
yeah.
then, you know, I like the idea of an all-volunteer army.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certainly things that we can be doing on the administrative side and other ways to make national service one and national military service one of the choices. I think Matthew's on the line.
Matthew
as well.
Is up next. Matthew, do you have some ideas for us on this?
Yeah, you know, I think Dan did make a very good point, because I can assure you that the chiefs are still very much remember the legacy of Vietnam and what a draft brought to them. And part of that goes along with the fact that we didn't have a total call-up, in the sense that people were able to avoid service via, you know, exemptions.
Oh, yes,
it
was easy.
Like World War II,
mm-hmm.
where you were going.
But World War II is a good example, Matthew, of where it was used effectively, and almost everybody went. I mean, some people got out of it, but almost everybody served in some capacity, and in fact, women served in that capacity in industry. So you had the men who were drafted into military service were replaced very often on the assembly line by women. There are some countries that have universal service.
Switzerland has universal service. Israel, and that again is military. And what Shelley is talking about is not strictly military.
Right.
Military is a component. Matthew, are you still there?
Yeah, you know, just one interjection is I would say this. I would like to see, instead of a broader situation like that draft of the civilian or military, whatever you want to call it, I'd rather see a more focused volunteer force that actually did have some training in military, that was more focused on serving in Peace Corps-like activities.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But not like the Peace Corps, because you can't send people overseas like you did in the old days. They have to have some training to understand that there are also potentially violence out there.
Right. But Matthew,
but
I guess
we've got to get out there and get our young people out around the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially in Africa. Thank you. Bye.
One of the things, Matthew, that I'm so that as I noodle, you know, around mm-hmm. this idea, I just think about our corporations, and I think about the way corporations bring people into the, you know, into the corporate family, and how many corporations could benefit if they participated in this as apprenticeship programs, as training programs. It also gives that corporation a good base from which they can essentially draft,
yeah.
You know, long-term employees.
Potential employees.
It also, you know, solves some of the problems that both, I think, Hillary Clinton and Trump hasn't really mentioned it too much, but certainly Mrs. Clinton has. And in talking about how do you make technical training and public education at the post-high school level either free or nearly free? And this is another way of getting that done. By the way, I think One of the things we could do here would be to issue bonds, issue like we used to issue war bonds, so that you could pay for some of these public works projects with the bonding, and then use tolls and other methods of paying back those bonds after, say, bridges and tunnels and that kind of thing were built, or highways. There are ways that we could do this that would, I think, be really interesting. Now, I'm hardly a public works expert, but I just don't hear anybody talking about this. And quite frankly, when I mention it to people, they kind of scratch their heads and say, yeah, that's kind of a neat idea. Yeah. What about thinking more about a big idea like that?
There you go. I'm glad you brought it up, Shelley. Folks can reach Shelley Fishman, by the way, by going to buckmastershow.com. We've got a link over to Shelley, and he'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, I'd like to just mention.
Please do.
In today's Star, there's a great editorial by Michael Gerson, who, of course, was George W. Bush's chief speechwriter. This is a really great editorial on some of the things that, for instance, your guests yesterday in the political debate were talking about. It's really important stuff.
Yeah, I know. All right. Thanks, Shel.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, the nutrition reporter Jack Challen. Plus, what role do the arts play in Southern Arizona's future? We'll talk with Debbie Mabee. She's the executive director of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to us by Green Things. Thank you, folks at Green Things. Jack and Jan, the owners at 3384 East River Road, they've really started these seminars that are free on Saturday and Sunday that have become very popular. Great gardening questions answered, and 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. Check it out, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is just loaded with information, as are the 13 acres full of greenhouses, plants, and pottery. But the website's greenthingsac.com. We've got the 9/11 Tower Challenge coming up. That's going to be Friday, September the 9th, a couple of days before the 15th anniversary of the attacks on America. It's going to be the challenge. It's going to be at Arizona Stadium at getting underway bright and early at 6:30 in the morning on that Friday. Recently retired Sergeant James Kirk, former Tucson Police Department officer, is with me in studio. Sergeant Kirk is now with the 100 Club of Arizona. He's the Southern Arizona representative. Jim, if I may call you by your first name, great to see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, thank you very much. That was a very fun weekend up in Las Vegas. Yeah. So
that's great.
I had not been in Las Vegas, I had not been up there in many years. Could not believe how things have changed there. The 100 Club of Arizona, what is that?
The 100 Club of Arizona is an organization, a nonprofit organization here in the state that really takes care of our first responders. Most people don't realize it, but we have about 50,000 first responders here in the state of Arizona, and that includes federal, municipal, county, city, firefighters, police, probation, corrections. And the 100 Club, what we do is when tragedy strikes one of those individuals or their families, we step in to help them financially and to help them with just support to help them work through some of those tragedies.
How'd that club come about?
That's what, usually people ask that. Yeah. How did you get the name the 100 Club? And
yeah,
it's a great story that came out of tragedy. But in 1954, an officer was killed in the line of duty in Detroit, Michigan. And mm-hmm. a car dealer there by the name of Billy Packer was so moved about the situation, especially because this officer left behind a pregnant widow, that he wrote 100 of his closest friends and asked for financial support for this officer, and got 100% response back from his friends, and they were able to actually pay off the mortgage of the widow's house and start a college fund for the unborn baby. So that's the way that the concept came about. And then in Phoenix in 1965, an officer was killed in the line of duty, and the 100 Club established a chapter here in Arizona, and it's just continued to grow. And to date, we've given about $14 million in benefits to our first responders statewide.
Yeah, and these families that these brave men and women leave behind, they're going to have all sorts of emotional issues, Jim, to deal with. As you're well aware, you've been very involved with behavioral sciences, the behavioral science unit at TPD. You were kind of sort of helped launch that, didn't you?
Yes, and working in behavioral sciences for 8 years at Tucson Police, that's really where I became familiar with the 100 Club mm-hmm. and realized the great work that they did. I think I remember very, very vividly sitting in the living room of Noemi Height's house about a day after Eric Height was killed in the line of duty.
And terrible. Yeah.
Sharon Knutson Felix, who was the CEO at the time, showed up at Noemi's house and gave her a check for $15,000 within 24 hours of that event happening to make sure that some of those immediate expenses weren't a worry for Noemi.
She really turned a horrible negative into a positive, didn't she?
She did. She's a wonderful,
amazing.
Human
I've met her
being.
A couple of times, had interviewed her a couple of times, and she's tried to help others.
Yep, the Eric Heidt Foundation does a great job with child care here in the Tucson area, and so yeah, that's exactly right. That's what the 100 Club wants, to step alongside Noemi and it might not only help them financially, but make sure that we walk with them through their grief.
Hey Jim, there are a lot of steps at Arizona Stadium, aren't there?
Oh yeah. You got ask some of the participants from the 9/11 Tower Challenge.
My
in the
goodness,
past.
They'll probably be counting every one of them. Tell me about the challenge.
So the challenge came about actually about 5 years ago. One of our SWAT sergeants, Rob Brandt, did it on a smaller scale. And then it was dormant for a couple years. And then 2 years ago, Rob and I got together and said, well, you know, we need to bring this thing back because it was a great way to honor those who lost their lives on 9/11 and to continue honoring those that serve and protect us, not only domestically, but abroad too, in our first responder and military communities. So we thought that we wanted to grow it. We used Arizona Stadium. Arizona Athletics has been great to work with. And a couple years ago, we had about 300 participants. Last year, we had 900. We're hoping well over 1,000 this year. And it's become the largest stair climb in the nation that partners our first responder and military communities.
And stair climb is so appropriate because think of the firefighters that lost their lives in the towers climbing. And they were trying to help people going up or down. And it was... The stairs are very appropriate as a symbol.
The 2071 symbolized 110 floors at one of the Twin Towers.
Yeah. So how can people get involved, Jim, with this?
Well, there's a couple ways to get involved. You could go to 911towerchallenge.org. I would really encourage individuals to take a look at that video there because that shows last year's event, and it was shot by FBI agent Dave French. And he was actually in New York City on that day, lost a good friend, and is stationed here in Tucson now, and is a very powerful video that shows last year's event. But also, you can register there if you're a first responder or if you know somebody that's willing to sponsor you in that event. As long as you're over 18, we'd love for you to do it. And if you don't want to participate this year, you could also donate. So any of those ways, we'd really appreciate it.
What's the I know the Arizona Fisher House is also one of the beneficiaries.
Right. So we were talking about that. And with the Tower Challenge, we want a first responder beneficiary, which is the 100 Club, and then a military beneficiary. And we were talking about that because both my boys are Army, so obviously mm-hmm. that's very, very close to me. But the Arizona Fisher House is kind of like the Ronald McDonald House for vets. And so if vets are receiving services at our really fine VA here in town, then their families can stay at the Fisher House for free while they're getting those services. So they just finished building it last year. It's a phenomenal facility, well-run, and a great honor to our vets.
Is that a national program, the Fisher House?
It is a national program, and I don't think all 50 states have Fisher Houses yet, but in Arizona, the Tucson Fisher House is the only one here in the state of Arizona.
So the 100 Club of Arizona has been active here then for many years, hasn't it? It was started in Detroit, you said, in 1954.
Right.
So it's had quite a few years here of helping lots of families of law enforcement.
We've been
and first responders
growing and growing as far as supporting our first responders. So not only do we have benefits for line of duty death, unfortunately we had a fire captain, a Tucson fire captain that passed away last week off duty, and we have benefits for that as well. Line of duty injury benefits, what we call hero benefits, if just a significant tragedy hit the family, scholarships for kids, and then one of the things I love the most are safety stipends. So some of our smaller jurisdictions like Wilcox, Safford, some of the smaller jurisdictions in the area, they don't have enough money for turnout gear, and they don't have enough money for body armor or tasers. And so we step in and help them with grants and stipends to buy some of that very, very needed equipment.
Yeah, some of the smaller departments like Kingman, I mean, all around the state, they need help.
Yep.
People think of really Arizona is Flagstaff, Phoenix, and Tucson. But folks, if you've driven around this great state, you know there are a lot of small communities, and they need help.
They do. They're great people. You know, it's great small town in Arizona, and I love going to those areas and meeting with some of those first responders.
Jim Kirk, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And again, for more information about the 9/11 Tower Challenge, probably Google that or type in www.911towerchallenge.org. That will do it. Or Facebook?
Facebook, 9/11 Tower Challenge. So you could look there as well, and we look forward to seeing as many people out there on September 9th.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by one of my favorite areas, speaking of driving around the state of Arizona, well, over in New Mexico, they've got some beautiful areas as well. Southwest New Mexico, Silver City, one of our fine sponsors, urging all Southern Arizonans to take the 3-hour drive over to Silver City. It's something completely different. Got a nice mile-high elevation in that area. Lots to do. There's a very interesting historic district, Silver City Museum, preserving and interpreting the region's unique history. The full listing of places to stay and the many things to do to recreate. SouthwestNewMexico.org, 1245 on Buckmaster.
This is our house. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of 3 games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and anytime in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Welcome back. Fox Theater is presenting The Monkees' Good Times, the 50th anniversary tour. In 1967, do you believe it? The Monkees outsold both the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. Well, this is going to be a rare opportunity to see band members Mickey Dolenz and Peter York performing all of those big hits like Last Train to Clarksville, Daydream Believer, on and on. That's going to be at the Fox on September 14th. But before that, September 10th, yeah, it's a Saturday. The Fox is welcoming the popular cast of the Emmy-nominated television show Whose Line Is It Anyway? 90 minutes of hilarious, fast-paced, interactive comedy and song. Then September 24th, again Saturday, a Tucson favorite, Mary Chapin Carpenter, returning to the Fox Theater. And for more information, to view the Fox full schedule and to purchase tickets to see Who's Live Anyway. And that's September 10th, The Monkees September 14th, Mary Chapin Carpenter on September 24th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now to Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, who is going to have our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Dan, how are you? Hey, you didn't know that Ray was able to pull a little Monkees bumper music there.
That Ray, he's a gift.
Isn't he, though?
Gift to the show. He's always doing a great job.
Yeah, finding that iconic We Are the Monkees. What's going on the art scene?
Everything is going on in the art scene. I mean, you know, we're getting a little bit something resembling the fall. So it's all happening. Mark your calendars for Thursday, September 1st. It will be right around the corner before you know it, 6 to 7 p.m. at Mocha Tucson. They currently have the Gardens of the Pure exhibition there. It's spectacular. You should go anyway. But Emma Coleman, whose work is there, she's a publisher. She's done all these exhibitions in Copenhagen, Montreal, Tokyo, Berlin, everywhere. She will be speaking at Mocha, free for Mocha members, $5 for non-members. Admission includes light snacks and refreshments. So, I mean, that's a great deal upon itself. So you can learn more about her perspective and what she was doing with the artwork. If you're into poetry, I rarely get poetry into this segment.
Yeah,
so
I can't remember a time when you did.
Exactly. Today is the day. But this competes a little bit with the Mocha exhibit, but at the University of Arizona Poetry Center, they're going to have the Morgan Lucas Schultz Memorial Reading, which is an annual event that highlights up-and-coming poets. Solmaz Sharif and Daniel Schoenbeek will be reading. Solmaz Sharif, her work's been in the New Republic and Granta Poetry. She has a new poetry collection on Grey Wolf Press. She's a lecturer at Stanford University. So, I mean, if poetry is your thing, this is a spectacular opportunity to get into it. So you can just look that up on Facebook. Just look at the University of Poetry Center's site. In the galleries, I want to make sure, get some gallery love in here. Contreras Gallery, starting on Saturday, September 3rd. They have a new show. The reception will be on that first Saturday, September 3rd, from 6 to 9. Artists Juan Enriquez, Jeff Litvak, Ruben Araya Moreno. New exhibit, all kinds of great work. Contreras Gallery always has great shows, so you don't want to miss that. You can find more information on that on Facebook as well. One of my favorite things in town, Exploded View Gallery and Micro Cinema. They are starting their fourth year of experimental film and music programming. They have a show on August 30th called Organ Palooza, which in itself sounds exciting enough.
What's the name? What's the venue again?
Exploded View Gallery and Micro Cinema.
Okay.
If you like weird movies, the avant-garde, the crazy stuff, pushing the boundaries, they have an amazing lineup every year. So they're starting off San Francisco-based Douglas Catellus. He's touring with his experimental films in a 1960s Hammond organ.
Wow.
So he'll be playing a take on Pink Floyd's Adam Hart Mother.
You know, I was going to say, we had Dr. Julie Sassy, one of the major curators over at Tucson Museum of Art, was on the program yesterday, and they have a fantastic lineup, Dan Gibson, for the year over at TMA, and they've changed things a little bit. They've got a new director. So rather than do shows up for 2 months, maybe 3-4 months, these shows are pretty much going to be up for a year, which I think is a good idea, actually.
Maybe people go see it, you can go check it out a couple times.
Yeah.
Get to explore it and talk about it quite a bit. If you haven't seen the Corbett House stuff they've been doing there, that's still running through August 26th. So Corbett House Days, it's a spectacular home, and you get to see a little bit of Tucson history. If we got time for one more?
You do. Go for it.
Okay. One of my favorite films, one of my favorite movies of all time, it's been Catherine Deneuve month at the Loft. So they're closing that out with The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Beautiful French New Wave movie by Jacques Demy.
Oh, yeah.
It is gorgeous. It is really one of the most lovely movies any human being could ever see, showing this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. If you have not seen this movie, you must see it. If you have not seen it on a big screen, you must see it on a big screen. I cannot recommend this enough. Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Go to loftcinema.com for tickets. Regular admission prices apply.
As I recall, that came out in the early 1960s.
That is correct.
Yeah. Hey, food is art, and I want to do a shout-out to Christy Simone, our host here in the morning, that put this he's been promoting this best 23 miles of Mexican food, and that kind of comes on the heels of Tucson's United Nations designation as being an international food city. I mean, it's good news for the food community and really for tourism, isn't it?
Absolutely. It has been a crazy week for with Tucson and food. Friday, there was a feature in the USA Today, which you can read online. Talked about their writer came here. I showed her around. Christy Simone took her on the Best of the Barrio tour, which is highly recommended. And it was ecstatic. I mean, it's a ecstatic feature about Tucson food and the interconnectivity of it. Today online, you'll see it in tomorrow's print version of the New York Times. There's an article about the UNESCO designation, which talks about how it came together, and again, about the interconnectedness of Tucson food, about things happening at Mission Gardens, at Sanavir Co-op Farm, with the work that Dr. Gary Navin is doing. It has been an incredible time. It's all good stuff, but I mean, you know, people often travel for food. It is really one of the biggest things, especially among millennials, that they make their choices about. So we're going to keep pushing it for sure. And I believe it's a magnificent place.
Well,
Tucson's a magnificent place to eat.
It's a really good partnership. Chris has been on board with the city of Tucson. Rahina Romero is very much supportive of this, and I know you are with the tourism board. And why the 23 miles? Are there really like 23 miles of great food, Mexican food places?
So Donovan Durbin, who works at Parkwise, did one of those, some sort of data map of sort of the main swath of Tucson Mexican food, you know, reaching up to sort of the El Charro on, just past Ina and Oracle, all the way down south to La Curicumaca, I think so it's just sort of this larger idea that there's like 23 square miles. If you take the sort of the corridor of Mexican food that runs from the south side up to the northwest side through downtown, there's 23 square miles. So it's just, one of those things you kind of throw the gauntlet down. You say, hey, we're going to say that we have the best Mexican food north of the border, and it's great to have these signs up now and everything. It's a fun thing to talk about.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for your work at Visit Tucson.
100%. Absolutely. Happy to help.
Thank you very much. Dan Gibson with us on the Buckmaster Art Support, which is presented by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. Let me tell you quickly about some of the highlights in September. They've got the Fox welcoming on Saturday, September 10th, the popular cast of the Emmy-nominated television show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Then September 14th, The Monkees, Good Times, the 50th anniversary tour. The Monkees show coming to the Fox. Then on the 24th, another Saturday night, Tucson favorite Mary Chapin Carpenter returning to the Fox Tucson Theater. She is a five-time Grammy Award winner, singer, songwriter, and Nashville Hall of Fame inductee. So she's coming to town. And you can check all of it out for the Fox schedule by visiting and, of course, purchasing tickets to see Who's Live Anyway. That's September 10th. The Monkees, September the 14th. Mary Chapin Carpenter, September 24th. Go to foxtucson.com for more information. Well, we have, speaking of more, we have more talk for you. Local talk this afternoon. I always like to promote our local shows. For Tucson, Mike Shaw, Ray Allen, putting together a show from 4 to 5 today, and then 3 hours pretty much of Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, coming back with you tomorrow. We are going to talk with Jack Challum. Jack, always interesting. He is our nutrition reporter, so be sure to get ready to call in your questions. We'll also be talking a little bit more about the very important Arizona Corporation Commission race, one of the big items on the primary. That is, believe it or not, 1 week from today. Where has 2016 gone? I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.